All right, well, let's pray as we start this next part of our service, looking at God's Word. Our great Lord and Heavenly Father, we've been singing lots about Jesus already, and we read that passage in Colossians all about Jesus, and it is great now for us to have some time where we really concentrate on Him and think about all that He has done for us, all that He's done for us already in His death on the cross, but also all of the great things that that accomplishes for us, for our future, for our eternity. Lord, as we do this, please help us to concentrate and to think. It can be so easy just to sit and let stuff wash over us, but we know studying the Bible should never be like that. It's something that we need to be engaged in and think about and test and work hard at understanding. And I pray particularly for the young guys this morning. Lord, would you help them to concentrate and understand? Help me to speak really clearly, because we know that the gospel changes lives and we want our lives to be changed by you. So please, Father, would you do that work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want you to put your hand up if you've been sick yet this winter. You know, maybe the flu, gastro, something else. Yeah, a fair few people by the looks of it, and probably there'll be more of us as we go on. But being sick's a real pain, isn't it? It's a real nuisance. For example, take this young man here. This is Alexei. Now, Alexei is a bit sick, and it's a bit of a nuisance for him because he was actually today going to go to a birthday party that one of his friends had organised, and it was going to be epic. They were going to go to Zone 3 laser games, and they had like 10 games of that to play, and then they were going to go to Pizza Hut, all you can eat, and basically pig out and become sick in a different way there. And then to cap it all off, they were going to go to the movies. But this morning, Alexei woke up and did this. No, I'm putting it there. Put on it there, shall we? He's sick. Look at him, poor kid. And so guess what his mum said this morning about the party? Sorry, dude, but you're not going anywhere. So instead of strapping on his laser sensor pack, he's strapped on his dressing gown. Instead of picking out at Pizza Hut, he's nibbling dry toast with a thin scraping of Vegemite. And instead of going to the movies, he's going to spend a day watching boring daytime television. It's just not very fun, is it? You can go sit down and be sick over there somewhere. Poor kid. But, of course, as annoying as all that is, being sick can be way worse than that, can't it? So take Josh, for example. Now, you might not know this about Josh, but he's got amazing soccer skills. He is absolutely a soccer prodigy. His coach is absolutely certain that he's got what it takes to go all the way. One day he's going to play for Australia. They've even started calling him Mini Tim after Tim Cahill, because that's how sure they are he's going to be amazing. And look, that just suits him fine. He loves soccer. He can't think of anything he'd rather do than play soccer. He dreams about soccer. He lives soccer. He eats it. He breathes it. But then one day, he was playing a match and he was lining up to take a big shot at goal that he almost always certainly got, when suddenly he felt a pain in his knee and he couldn't kick anymore. And then the next day, he got it in his elbow as well. And then the day after that, his wrist started hurting and his ankle started hurting. And pretty soon, he just couldn't walk anymore and sit down all the time. And he went to the doctor and they realised that he'd actually got a really bad bone disease. And he was never going to play soccer again. It's tragic, isn't it? You can go sit down again there too. Well, take my last kid. Where is he? Nathan. This is Nathan. Now, Nathan, he looks just like an ordinary boy, but he's actually a genius. Now, most people just have a brain in here. His brain's so big that it goes down his throat and sits in his stomach as well. That's how smart he is. This is what he likes to do for fun. He's actually memorising this. He'll probably just do that for 5 minutes before he goes finds another book to memorise. He's an absolute genius. At school, he runs special ed classes for the teachers so they can do their PD in lunch break. It works out really well. They're thinking about sending him to uni next year. But then one day he was just trying to remember something, and suddenly he realized that he couldn't. It was something really easy, and he just couldn't remember it. And then a week later, he realized he couldn't even read properly anymore. And they took him to the doctor, and they realized that he actually had a terrible brain disease. And so all of the amazing future that he had mapped out, he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't think, he couldn't read, he couldn't speak. Go sit down too. See, diseases can be really bad, can't they? And of course, they can be worse than that even. They can actually kill you. And I'm sure many people have got people in their families where a disease or a sickness has actually, in the end, killed them. And you know the worst thing about diseases? Is that so often there seems to be so little we can do about them. Particularly the really bad ones. We get clever doctors and scientists and they come up with a cure for one disease, but as soon as they do that, there just seems to be two or three others that pop up and no one knows how to fix them and they're utterly out of control. In fact, disease and sickness are probably some of the biggest tragedies that we face in our lives. And when you think about that, you can't help but start to ask questions of God, can you? Now, particularly if it's you or someone you love who's got the disease. Because we might not be able to fix the problem of disease, but he's God, right? Surely he can sort the problem out, can't he? And if God really is good and if he really is loving and all of those things that Christians say that he is, well, why doesn't he do something about it? Why doesn't he fix it? Why doesn't he fix the boy that wants to play soccer but he's got a terrible bone disease? Yeah, well, why doesn't he fix the kid that's got the brain disease and who's not going to be able to think or read or do any of those things anymore? I mean, if he's so good and wonderful and all-powerful, why doesn't he do something about it? To get rid of this horrible problem that causes us so much pain and hurt and tragedy. Good question, isn't it? Well, what I want to show you this morning is that God actually has done something about it. In fact, God has already done something spectacular that is going to end sickness and disease once and for all. Well, before that song, we spent a lot of time thinking about sickness and disease in this world, and we were reflecting on how actually it's just so horrible and such a big problem for us. And so that led us to ask the question, didn't it? Well, if God is good and if he's loving and all of those great things that Christians say that he is, well, why doesn't he do something to fix it? Yeah? Why doesn't he step in and sort it out? Well, as I said earlier, the good news is that God actually has done something to fix it. In fact, God has already gone to great lengths to deal with the problem of sickness and disease. And you know what he's done? He sent Jesus. It's amazing. When you read through the Gospels, you start to see very clearly that Jesus is somebody who can do something to fix sickness. I want to read to you a little passage from Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. It says this. It says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the evil spirits with a word, and he healed the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases." The amazing thing, when you read through the Gospels and you follow Jesus through the Gospels, you see that he is able to heal sick people. And when you read through, you see it's not just a little sniffle that he's dealing with or a bout of gastro or a little bit of a flu. He's actually curing stuff that's incurable. In fact, you'll even go so far at a couple of times to bring people back from the dead. He can cure death. It's amazing to watch. And he doesn't need medicine to do that. He doesn't need doctors or physiotherapists or anything like that at all. No, he does it simply by speaking and touching people. And wow, they're healed. Now, that's pretty spectacular. The healing that he did as he was walking around on earth, pretty amazing. But that passage in Matthew that I read out before mentions another passage in the Bible. I don't know if you noticed when I was reading it, but I said the words that this was to fulfill what was written in the prophet Isaiah. Yeah, so Matthew, when he's talking about Jesus, is pushing us back into the Old Testament and talking about a passage in Isaiah, which also speaks about Jesus. But this passage in Isaiah doesn't speak about Jesus walking around healing people like that in the Gospels. It speaks about Jesus dying on the cross. And I want to read it to you. It's Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. And you'll hear the bit from Matthew. It says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him." And listen to this next bit. "And by his wounds, we are healed." Okay, now that passage is very interesting because it actually connects Jesus healing us from disease and suffering with him dying on the cross. Yeah? Isaiah is saying that Jesus' death on the cross is something that will bring us healing. But how does that work? Well, to understand this, you need to understand the original cause of disease and sickness. Okay, now, if I was to ask you what that was, I bet you a lot of you would say, well, it's germs, isn't it? Isn't it nasty germs that we breathe in and that make us sick? And there's a sense in which that's true, because germs do make us sick. But you know what? There's an even bigger reason why people get sick. Okay, an even bigger reason, and it's the reason that we even have germs, yucky, nasty, killing us kinds of germs on this earth. And you know what that reason is? It's sin. Sin is the thing that ultimately causes disease. Okay, now I want to be careful here. I'm not necessarily saying that every time someone gets sick, it's because of some specific sin that they have committed. I'm not saying that necessarily. No, rather, the reason that sin is the cause of disease is because sin means that our world is a broken world. It's a world that isn't the way it's meant to be. It's a world that's broken and has diseases in it. The reason we live in a world where people get sick and suffer and die is because we live in a world where people are trying to live their lives without God. And that's really what sin is at the most basic level. It's when you're trying to live your life without God as your king. Where you try to control things and rule the world without God in the picture. And, of course, the problem with us trying to rule the world without God is that we just can't do a very good job of it. We think we can be in control, but we're not. We can't control disease. We can't control all sorts of stuff. We make a mess of it, and as a result, we have this broken world where people get sick and suffer and die. But this is the good news. Okay? Jesus died on the cross to give us a new chance. You see, when he died on the cross, he took the punishment we deserve for our sin so that God can forgive us. But God does a lot more than just forgive us. Yeah. You see, God is going to bring about a perfect new world. And if you're one of God's forgiven people, then guess what? You're going to be a part of that perfect new world. And I want to read to you from another passage that describes this world. Now listen carefully to this, okay? This is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. It says that in this world, God will wipe every tear from your eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. pretty nice sounding place, isn't it? A place where all suffering will be gone forever. There's not going to be any more disease in this new world. There will be no more suffering. There'll be no reason to cry. There'll be no reason to be sad. It's the world that we all long for without all of the stuff that makes life sad and tragic and hard. And you know what? It's been won for you already. Yeah? Everything that needs to happen for you to be a part of this has been done already through the death of Jesus Christ. This is such good news, isn't it? Such a wonderful hope. And we're going to spend some time now just letting all of this sink in and letting the reality of what God has done for us in Jesus hit home to us afresh, to fill our hearts with this incredible hope of this perfect new world where there will be no disease, where there will be no sickness, where there will be no more suffering and no more tears. And I want us to start this time off by praying together. So would you join with me in a prayer? Heavenly Father, when we look around at the brokenness of this world and just the sheer tragedy and pain and suffering and death that disease causes us, we just grieve. It's so horrible. And we know deep down that it's just not right. And there are people here today that just know this so personally, that have either suffered or are suffering from disease at the moment, or have had loved ones snatched away for them or caused to suffer horribly because of what disease can do. And it's just such a concrete picture of how horrible sin is and what happens when people ignore you. But we also know that we contribute to this problem, because there are times when all of us reject your kingship and disobey you. There are times where we join in with the rest of humanity in trying to live without you. And Father, for that we are so sorry. But we're also very grateful for your amazing grace to us in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you that he died to take the punishment our sin deserves so that you can forgive us. And that as your forgiven people, we can look forward to this wonderful new earth where disease will no longer exist. That is such a great hope, Lord. And as we sing and take the Lord's Supper now, we pray that you would help us to just appreciate and embrace and believe this hope in a new way. In Jesus' name.